Over the last 70 years, you have heard this.
Good afternoon. This is Joe Ione with Neighborhood News. News about people, places, and plans brought to you by Jim Dugans.
SEXGIO from the 7th Infantry, for the 512th Combat Engineers, one of the ex-Screaming Eagles of the 101st Airborne. Yeah, ask any of the others that took that conducted tour through Europe.
But when I was a kid, I was always interested in everything. And during World War II, when my dad went to the Navy, why, he had been with the fire department as a volunteer, a Minuteman, and so I took over his spot, as well as being a mascot to the fire department.
Real privilege to be talking with one of the foremost entertainers in America today. And, of course, I'm talking with Bob Newhart. And Bob's going to be at the Palace Theater Saturday night, February the 12th at 8 p.m. And, Bob?
I think life is great. And I think that you have to contribute. I think that, you know, when you're given certain things, then you should return certain things.
This is Scott Spears, and today I'm joined by a fondly remembered member of the WMRN family and a good friend of mine over the past few years, Marianne Michaels. Marianne, how are you doing?
Oh, let me give you a little picture of the way it looks. There are these rows of men who are sitting at instrument boards, and they're the ones who have these little flight boards, did you call them?
Flight progress strip boards.
Yes, flight progress strip boards, and they have there are radar screens in front of them, and a map of the airways above them. Behind them standing is a man wearing the earphones who is talking with the pilot, and he passes on the information to the men who are sitting at the control boards.
2 o'clock, December 23rd, 1940. Before Pearl Harbor, before building of the Scioto Ordnance Plant, before Marion Engineer Depot, before Marion launched on a program of rebirth and rebuilding, a new voice of progress appeared upon the scene, a voice dedicated to public service and community progress. This was and is the voice of WMRN.
Good evening. This is Scott Spears welcoming you to the WMRN 70th anniversary special. 70 years we're celebrating here tonight, and we have quite a distinguished group of voices I'm sure you've heard over the past 70 years live in studio with us. We have Morning Man for so many years, the man responsible for Buckeye Chuck and the Peanut Push, Charlie Evers. We have the lady who originated Morning Magazine back in the 80s, Marianne Michaels. The host of the All-Star Country Jamboree, Clancy Wright. We have the best newsman hands down in the last 70 years, Joe Ione. Former sportscaster here at WMRN, Bob Ferguson. Wife and one-time employee of engineer Joe Peters, Ruth Peters. Longtime prospect weatherman Cecil Ayler. And former farm director Tom Wagner. Going to be joined throughout the next 2 hours by Chili Edwards, who was the staff band leader on WMRN. We're going to have some music, going to have some clips. It's going to be a lot of fun. But before we do anything else, I want to ask everybody here in the room how they started at WMRN. Joe, how'd you get the job here?
Let's see. Oh, after I graduated from Ohio State, I applied for a job and got it. And I was only going to stay a short time, but I'm still here.
And that was back in the 60s, 50s, Joe, wasn't it?
Yeah.
50 years later, you're still hanging around.
Still here.
Lucky for us. Charlie, how'd you end up here at WMRN?
Well, let's see. It was a long time ago. I drew my first paycheck here in 1949, and I was hired because I was a ham radio operator, knew some of the engineers here. They had me doing the engineering of the high school broadcast called High School Reporters back in 1950. And so after I graduated, I came down here and said, isn't there something I can do? I'll mow your grass if you hire me. Well, I didn't mow the grass, but I did everything else. I even cleaned the restrooms at times, dug ditches, did everything.
Maybe for old time's sake, later on, we'll have you clean the restrooms.
Okay.
Marianne, how did you end up here at WMRN?
Well, I was really at Channel 4, WCMH-TV. I was the noon anchor, and I was a reporter, and I was loving my job, every minute of it. And, of course, I was commuting from Marion every single day, back and forth, back and forth. And I didn't mind it. I would mind it now, but I didn't mind it then. And I was enjoying myself, and all of a sudden, I got an inquiry from George Oakham and John Courtwright, who were buying the station, WMRN. And they came to my house, and I invited them in, and they were talking about having me come aboard at the radio station. And you know, quite frankly, I wasn't ready to leave television. I loved it. I really did. But they were so good to me. I put out all of these requests, what I wanted, thinking they're not going to hire me. It's too much money. I didn't want to work weekends. I didn't want to work holidays. I wanted a certain amount of time vacation, and I just put all those things out and said, this is, you know, this is what I would want. Doggone it if they didn't say, you got it. So what was I supposed to say? And I was getting a little tired of the commute, quite frankly. And, you know, I lived in Marion from 1956, so I knew a lot about the community. And I had been in radio years and years ago. I started at when I was only in high school, doing a radio program called Calling All Girls on Saturdays, WWVA in Wheeling, West Virginia. And that was my first stint with it. But anyhow, I liked radio, so I decided that I would change my broadcasting career and go into radio. And I loved every minute of my time on radio. I really did. I was the news director, and I had two wonderful reporters on staff, Claire Campbell and Dennis Garrigan. And we had a really good news operation. And then I hosted Morning Magazine, and I had a great time doing that.
You know, I should make mention that Jeff Ruth, who's been here for 31 years now, is also in the studio. Jeff, how'd you come to WMRN?
I was working in Cincinnati, and it was a brand new station. We went on the air on a Wednesday, and on Friday, the owner thought that we should be making money. It doesn't work quite like that, so I worked there, and after a couple of months, it was obvious I had gone 3 or 4 weeks and hadn't been paid. It was one of those, well, you know, a little tight this week, but, you know, we'll make it up to you next week, that kind of thing. And after about 4 weeks of getting nothing, it was like, it's time to look somewhere else. And had gotten a job overnights at a station in Hamilton outside Cincinnati. It was midnight to six. Basically, I was an engineer. Not in the literal sense, but I was a babysitter. Everything was pretty much pre-taped. I would do the weather at 3 o'clock in the morning. That was the only time I ever got to do anything on the air. And I was doing that, had been there maybe 2 months, and it was an ad in the broadcasting magazine that WMRN was looking for an evening announcer and somebody to help with news and sports. And so since, you know, it was from Mansfield and it was Easter weekend, I was going up to visit my parents in Mansfield. I was like, yeah, I'll just drive up Columbus, and instead of going to Mansfield, I'll just drive up 23. And Roger Fisher at the time was our kind of our engineer or program director, and Steve Stewart was our news director. And they put me in the studio and had me read a couple of minutes of news and did a commercial. And a week later, they called me, and, you know, as you say, 31 years later, never expected to be here. You know, more than a couple of years. This was going to be a stepping stone for someplace else.
Turned out to be the stone.
It did, yes.
Yeah. Clancy Wright, how'd you end up as host of the Country Jamboree?
Well, it's kind of a long story. We may make it as short as I can, but we started the Jamboree. A gentleman, a friend of mine named Forney Crace, I was chairman of the trustees at that time for the Union Hall, and he wanted to know if he could meet with us and make arrangements to have their meetings there at the Steelworkers Union Hall. So we had a meeting, and after the meeting was over, they had their first show, and I went down, and I was up on the stage at that time. I went down and I said, Forney, you had a real good show tonight. and he called everybody hoss. He said, "Yeah, hoss, we had a pretty good show, but we need an MC." One of the guys next to me says, "Right there's your man." I said, "I don't know nothing about MC and a country music show." He said, "Would you try it?" And I said, "No, I told you I don't know nothing about it." He said, "I'm going to ask you one more time. If you turn it down," he said, "I'll get somebody else." And I said, "Well, if you want me to, I'll try." So I emceed the first show. After the show was over, I went down, and Forney was standing down there, and I said, "Forney, you really had a good show." "Yeah," he said, we need an MC." I said, "I don't know nothing about being an MC." He finally talked me into taking it. I emceed that show for, I don't know, we started around 1970. I emceed that show every Friday night, and sometimes we had a show at the Marion Theater. It was shut down at that time. We had a show there, and when we get done there, we go down to the Union Hall and put on another show. And that's about the way I got started, and I was with it for about 10 years, every Friday night.
It was a great, great run. Let's talk to Tom Wagner here. Tom, how did you end up at WMRN?
I got a call from Art Martin. I was teaching school and Marion at that time, and I got a call from Art Martin, and he said, "Do you want to come up?" And I had done a little work at WOSU when I was in school, and I enjoyed it. So I came up, and the rest is history.
Farm director for a few years here. And was it a fun job?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. A lot of traveling.
Ruth Peters, tell us about how you ended up at WMRN, and tell us the story about how you met your husband here at WMRN, and who introduced you. Tell the story.
I think he introduced himself.
Did he? He just came to you.
I came to Marion. I just graduated from high school, and they had an ad out for a bookkeeper. So I came out and was interviewed by Mr. Mason. And as he sat in his desk, he whirled the Masonic ring that he had. My father had one exactly like that. I told him that, and I was hired.
And that was it. You were on the payroll. Tell how you met Joe Peters. How did it happen here?
Gosh, I don't know.
No, the banana split.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Madge Guthrie, which is Madge Cooper then, bet me a banana split at Bo's that I couldn't get a date with Joe, which didn't really remember was that we had lunch together all the time anyway.
And that date lasted for how long? How long were you and Joe married?
An awful long time.
Long time.
Yes.
Produced some kids?
Two. I have Joe with me tonight, young Joe, and he has a sister who is in Cleveland.
And we should mention that young Joe Peters is actually in the brought our engineer room tonight, which is kind of a neat thing, which is what his dad did for so many years. Bob Ferguson, how did you land the job here doing color on the sportscast?
Well, I had spent 26 years officiating football, and then my job took me to California, and then I came back to Marion, or to Columbus, really, after 9 years out there, and then I went up to Battle Creek, Michigan, for 2 years, and then I retired and came back to Marion. And I received a call from a guy by the name of Roger Fisher, and he wanted somebody to work with him on the football and basketball broadcasts. And they talked to me, and we agreed on what we were going to do and everything. So we spent a very enjoyable time together. I gave Roger his nickname, Roger the Dodger, because we were doing the state basketball finals at St. John Arena. They had all radio stations at floor level, almost on the court, on card tables. And I'll never forget this big guy from Newark. He later went on to be quite a college player. There was a loose ball, and it was coming at us. And Roger saw it coming. I didn't. and he got out of it. He just fell over backwards and into the other people. And the next thing I knew, I had two or three 6 foot five guys, a smashed up card table, and two chairs on top of me, and I wasn't hurt. So I called, from then on, I called Roger the Dodger, because he didn't look out for me. He took off. One of the other funny things that we had, we were down at Otterbein doing basketball, and we got all set up and all ready to go, and Roger said, "Oh, my God, I forgot the microphones." So he had to get back in the car, drive all the way back here, pick them up and come back. And we went on the air just 30 seconds before the tip-off on the game that we were going to do. Mm. That was a real experience.
I can imagine.
But we had a good time. We worked all the Marion Harding games, home and away, football and basketball. He was very appreciative that I could give him football knowledge about what they were doing and everything, and he always said that helped him a great deal in his play-by-play. And I did the color, and we just had a remarkable time. Then Roger ducked out and went to Wisconsin or somewhere.
Cecil Ehler, you've been calling in the weather stats from Prospect since what year?
1957. 1957. 56, 57. I started advertising here at WMRN back in 52 when I went in the station. So some of you gals' salary, I helped pay. But then I got with Charlie Evers over there on the river, and the water, and we continued that together for till he left. And then now I got Jeff Ruth in there, and then Mike, and I do the weather with them, and 53 years I've been doing it, and I really enjoyed talking to these guys, and they seem to go right along with me and help me out. I don't work here now or nothing, but I did have, I've had WRN when I had the SIA station. I've paid them for asking ball games and advertisements, so I'm a great fan of WMRN.
Did you get a good return on your radio advertising dollars?
I think so, yeah. I think so.
We hope so.
And Myron Michaels, who was a lady who worked with you, Marge?
That worked with me?
Yeah. Marge, she married, he worked out there at the county garage, her second husband. I can't think of her last
Marge
name.
Marge Williams?
Yeah. Oh, Marge Williams. Yes.
Marge Williams,
she was here.
Yeah. Yes, I got she had me up here too on the radio station.
Yes.
I like Marge real well too. Okay.
Well, I tell you, George Yoakum has snuck in here. George, come grab the microphone. Tell us how you ended up at WMRN as a station manager.
Well, as Marianne said, in 1980, some local investors bought the radio station, primarily a person from Columbus, Bob Knuth, and a local person who was very well known here, John Courtright. His father was the president of Marion Power Shovel at one time, so the Courtright name had been known here a long time, and a man named Worth Kramer, who was manager of a radio station in Detroit, WJR, which is still a 50,000-watt clear channel radio station, one of the most successful in the country, had owned this radio station after Robert T. Mason, and Art Martin was just ready to retire at that time, and they decided they wanted to sell the radio station. John Courtright, being from here and having spent a lot of time being involved in community activities of all kinds, brought the idea to Columbus to Bob Knuth. Bob was an interesting fellow who is a Harvard graduate, but he went to basketball. He played basketball at Harvard on a scholarship from North Columbus High School. Hmm. And so he was very interested, being from this area, and John took the idea. They were business partners, and they decided that they would, and they needed a manager. And my background is in broadcasting. I have a bachelor's and a master's degree in broadcast business and marketing, and I was working at WBNS in Columbus, and they were going to buy this radio station and needed somebody who understood the business. They both were financial investors and very interested in new things, and certainly, as you guys have talked here, this was new in the 1940s, as computers are these days, And so they needed and wanted to see where this radio station could go, and it had a tremendous heritage, as is represented by all of you and all the people that you're talking about tonight. And I'm in the second 30-year period with Mary Ann. When we bought the radio stations in 1980, we felt that we had to build on that foundation, but it was time to take it in a new direction, and music was not going to be the answer. And so in our short period of time, I was here 5 years, but we basically started all news in the morning, stopped playing music. We started the Tradio program.
You're the one responsible for that.
Jeff and I call once in a while on Tradio and say, it's the father of Tradio calling. Could I get
George,
on the air?
I think Jeff still is very upset with me because I said I never wanted to do Tradio.
That's right. Mary Ann
I've
heard
never heard the end of it.
Mary Ann did have, before we could get her to come here, and she was very well known, and she added, and that's when we created the Morning Magazine program, more talk and less music. And then in the afternoon, we did an afternoon news hour. But since that time, shortly thereafter, talk programming with Rush Limbaugh's and Hannity's and others came into being. So we had set the stage for that. And so much of what's here, including Jeff being on in the mornings and Mary Ann was the news director, that was kind of the second 30 or 40, you know, years that we've spent building on a tremendous heritage that Robert T. Mason had built for this radio station during, you know, its startup time.
Yeah, well, tell you what, we're going to take a quick time out here, come back and pay tribute to the man who started WMRN, Bob Mason, right after this. Scott Spears back with you on the 70th anniversary of WMRN, 1490 since 1940. Now, Charlie, that's actually a bit of an inside joke, though, right? Because we were 1500 when we went on the air in 1940.
That's right, yes.
So not 1490 since 1940. But it sounds good.
Oh, it does. It goes right together. Yes.
So we'll take it. We want to pay tribute now to the man who made this all happen in 1940, Bob Mason. In 1940, the groundwork was beginning to be laid to start Marion's first radio station, as told by Bob Mason, Jr.
I remember the first time I saw the empty field in the summer of 1940. My dad and myself, I was 13, and an Irishman by the name of Jack McGrady, and I had come down from Fremont, Ohio, to look at this big empty field, and my dad handed me a post hole digger and said, dig a post hole. And I took the post hole digger and I dug a post hole. And we began to put stakes around and strings and little red markers on them to determine where the parking lot was going to be. That was the very first thing I think we marked off, was the parking lot. But at that point in time, WMRN was an empty field north of town.
Bob Mason Sr., along with a great staff, revolutionized that parking lot and broadcasting in Marion. He will forever be known as the father of Marion Radio.
2 o'clock. December 23rd, 1940, before Pearl Harbor, before building of the Scioto Ordnance Plant, before Marion Engineer Depot, before Marion launched on a program of rebirth and rebuilding, a new voice of progress appeared upon the scene, a voice dedicated to public service and community progress. This was and is the voice of WMRN.
And, of course, that was Robert T. Mason, the man who started WMRN back in 1940, December 23rd, 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Let's talk with some people who knew Bob Mason. Charlie, you were here during the Bob Mason years. What kind of guy was Bob?
He's very professional. He was a man who believed in promoting. And he did. You can see from the pile of pictures I have here, he had a picture taken of everything that went on with the radio station. And a lot of these pictures were posted during the fairs, where we had a huge tent and we had billboards and pictures of everything we did.
Just because we're on radio doesn't mean that we don't have we can't take pictures, right?
Right.
And he knew that.
Oh, yes.
He understood that. Joe Ione, you worked here with Bob Mason. Tell me about Bob Mason.
Well, he was, he was a good guy to work for. I mean, he was a, you worked but it was enjoyable working with him.
Did he know the radio business?
Oh, I thought he was very good at it. I think, I'm trying to think what year he started it. Do you remember?
40.
40?
40.
40, yeah. So he was well established in the business, I think.
Ruth Peters, you said you were hired by Bob Mason back in, what year was that?
Oh, I don't remember.
She doesn't want to say.
What? I had just graduated from high school, and they had an employment agency here, and I came over, and they had an ad for a bookkeeper, and I applied, went out to Mr. Mason's office and sat across the desk from him. And I said to him, "Oh, you have a 32nd degree Masonic ring on." He said, "How'd you know that?" And I said, "Because my dad had one. I was hired."
And that got you the job. Tom Wagner, you work with Bob Mason. Tell us about what he was like.
He treated me fairly. If you did your job and did it as it should be done, he was very fair and rewarded you accordingly. One thing I always enjoyed so much were the Christmas parties we had at his house, because we came home every party with a big basket full of food, topped with a turkey wrapped with cellophane. Remember that?
There were some pictures of that earlier
here. And you know, that was always a highlight of the year. We had a good time. And we worked to make the job, and we got the job done.
Charlie, we were talking about this before we went on the air tonight. You have a paper, and we're not going to read what people got for bonuses back here, but this was a generous guy.
He sure was. I had worked here about 6 years, and my bonus was $250, and in 1958, that was a huge amount of money.
And you weren't top of the line on that list either.
No, I wasn't. Joe Ione came before me. Joe got $50 more than I did.
$50 more work, I guess. George Yoakum, tell me about, you didn't meet Bob Mason, but you wanted to follow in what he had done. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, he was a broadcaster from New York, in ABC background, network kind of things. And as everybody said here, I think he must have been a very professional man to work for. I think he was a very decent guy, but he expected you to get the job done. This was a new industry. This was like being techie in the computer business. You were one of the first. Charlie was an engineer, and, you know, I think he expected and knew for this business to last, it had to be done professionally. And that's always been the impression I've had. I've heard more of them, of things that you've been able to collect through the years. I had never met or read anything about them, but in talking with Art Martin and others who were here, I'd learned quite a bit about him. And Worth Kramer, who owned this radio station, managed WJR in Detroit, and he was one of the most professional men you'd meet anywhere. And he wasn't going to buy a radio station, and he too had a connection with Bob Mason, had known him all during the years because they'd been in associations. So I think it speaks well as to why these kind of radio stations in the Marions, and I was involved in one in Mansfield in the same way, they got a great start, excellent foundation, and if you didn't screw that up, you could build on top of that. And that's what we tried to do.
You know, one of the great things about Bob Mason that I've learned is that he hired professionals, wasn't making a lot of money in the early days here at WMRN. A matter of fact, I talked with his daughter, Virginia Mason, and she said that he had to mortgage his furniture to meet payroll the first week. But he wanted to hire professionals, and that's what he did. He had real announcers, real broadcast people. Jeff, I know you never met Bob Mason either, but being here for 31 years, what have you heard about him from other people?
Just basically it's the same thing that, you know, you've reiterated, very professional. He had a vision, you know, 1940 or in the 40s, you know, I mean, it was obviously a new industry. Was talking, in fact, I stopped in today to see Ron Lipley, and Ron grew up in Bucyrus, Crawford County, and they didn't know what a radio station was in Crawford County, and talked about, and I guess I hadn't thought about this, but, you know, WMRN had a big following in Bucyrus and Galleon and Crawford County and some of the surrounding areas who did not have any local radio. And, you know, this served as a local radio station not only for Marion, but for the surrounding counties.
Absolutely. We're going to get Chili Edwards in here in just a second and pay tribute to the country and western music as it was known back in the early 1960s here on WMRN. But before we do that, I want to share an email I got earlier on in the week, and I won't mention who sent it to me because I don't know if they'd want me to, but I thought this was a pretty apt email. My memories of 1490 go back to almost the first broadcast. I, as a young housewife in 1940 and mother of a baby son, the first broadcast that I heard was Madge Cooper. I was thrilled because she and I were raised in the same little town of LaRue, Ohio. Some of my special memories are while rocking my son and listening to WMRN on Sunday, December 7th, 1941, hearing them break in and say that we were at war. I said a prayer for my baby son that he would never have to go to war. There are many more memories through the years. My foster mother lived with us and loved the obituaries. One year on her birthday, March 17th, we had the station dedicate her favorite song to her at hymn time. "It Is No Secret" was the song. She was thrilled to hear her name and her favorite song. We loved Joe Ione in the neighborhood news. I remember his program being interrupted on November 22nd, 1963, saying our president had been shot. I listened to Quickie Quiz every morning, and while the kids were getting ready for school, and sometimes I was lucky and knew the answer and won. Thanks for the memories, good and bad, and being a lifeline to the world back when there was no television. I'm still listening and hope we're both still here for 70 more years. And hear, hear to that. Let's hope we are still here for 70 more years. As I say, we're going to take a quick commercial break, Jeff. Come back with Chili Edwards and the Country Jamboree Reminiscence right after this.
It's time for Quickie Quiz, that tricky quiz. Come on and play our game. I'll bet you'll be a whiz. Prove you're smart and wise, you gals and guys. Put on your thinking cap and win yourself a prize. You know that fun and laughter are good for you, and that is what we're after. So why don't you have fun with Tricky Quiz, that quickie quiz, and watch your cares and troubles go away.
And that, of course, was the Quickie Quiz song. Who sang that?
A woman came in about 2 years ago. I don't remember her name, but she came in one morning, 11 o'clock or whatever, and said, have you heard the Quickie Quiz theme? And if I had forgotten it. And she said, I can sing it for you. So she stood out there in the front desk and sang. I said, we got to record that. So she had no notes, nothing. We went into the production room, sat down, did it in one take.
Well, she
had no notes, nothing. That was all off the top of the head.
Well, certainly music has been a big part of WMRN over the years. And back in the 1940s and 50s, there was a group who used to perform, and I believe what was the blues studio, Charlie, the Chuck Wagon Pals.
This is it.
The studio we're in right now, which still is
the
blue.
Blue room.
We saved on paint. So many people. We're going to remember in a second, but I want to pay tribute to the country and western music because it was said that when the Chuck Wagon Pals performed here in the 40s, that the fire marshal had to come out because so many people were in the studio. And I think that's true. And in the spirit of that came a show in the 1960s called the All-Star Country Jamboree. Chili Edwards, Clancy Wright hosted. Chili Edwards was a staff band leader, and we've asked Chili to come in tonight and sing the old theme song from the Country Jamboree. Take it away, Chili.
Let me get my pick.
Okay.
Here we go. Well, howdy, everybody.
Good, wasn't it? The old Marion County Jamboree Show. And Jeff, we actually have in our archives back there, we have the actual theme as it played, sung by whoever sung it back then, Larry Edwards in 1960. Play that theme.
Well,
two, and you're going to have to kill these other people to watch us here for the first time. What kind of a country kill we got here for you tonight? And if you just get your hands and feet together, the TNT, we're going to start to kill off. We got a young fella back there. I forgot to say welcome to the All-Star Jamboree, and I certainly do mean it too. Proud to have all of you here with us. And if you will, let's give a great big kind of a country-style welcome to Mr. Bob Gregory, the engineer.
Now, Clancy, that was you.
That was me, yeah.
Now, back in those days, you used to have a saying, because I've listened to some of those country jamboree shows, buy jackies. What in the world does that mean?
That's an old country saying that, well, I got a lot of them, but that was one of them.
That was one of them, and it worked really well.
By George,
all those old great sayings. Chili, how did you end up on WMRN?
Well, we used to do some radio when we played at the fairs, and then when we started the Jamboree, we played every hour first, and then the last 2 hours wasn't on the radio, but the first hour was always on the radio, and that's how I played. I never talked much on the radio. All I done was play and sing.
It was a tremendous, tremendous program. George, did you want to jump in here?
Well, I was going to say about the country music that was on WMRN AM and the popularity it had drove us when we bought the radio stations to drive people at the country club crazy, because at that time WMRN FM was playing beautiful music, elevator music. And I understood that this is a blue-collar, agricultural-based community at that time in 1980, and country music was just getting its popular roots started. And we changed WMRN-FM, which has now moved to Columbus, but WDIF has the same format, in 1980, just to show the popularity of what this was about. And none of us were particularly country music fans at the radio station, but all the indicators were that that was where it was. And WMRN-FM went from worst to first and has remained that way for the last 30 years.
Do you remember what day you made that change?
No, I don't.
April Fool's Day.
April 1st? Yeah,
and you didn't realize. Yeah, no. It was April. It said, let's do it the first of the month. It happened to be April 1st. And the poor secretary receptionist spent the whole day answering the phones thinking it was a joke.
Yeah.
And it was, and then they realized the next day, April 2nd, it was not a joke.
Beautiful music was no more.
Beautiful music was no more.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to come back. We're going to take one more commercial break here in this hour. We're going to come back and talk about some people who are no longer with us, sadly, here at WMRN. So, by Jackie's, we'll be right back after this commercial break. Scott Spears back with you on the WMRN 70th anniversary special here on 1490 AM WMRN. Sadly, over the last 70 years, we've lost some people who were very important to the WMRN fold, and we want to take the next 10 minutes and remember some of those people. A gentleman who was here longer than Bob Mason, and certainly without him we wouldn't have gotten on the air many times, was Joe Peters, and a lot of people in this room remember Joe Peters. Let's start with Charlie. You worked under Joe Peters.
Yeah, he hired me.
Yeah.
I worked with him many, many years, and overnights. We did a lot of maintenance overnights on the transmitters. And, of course, I was an engineer for 15 years under him and never said a word on the air because announcers and engineers were at odds. All engineers thought announcers were the lowest people on earth.
Marianne, memories of Joe Peters.
Wow, I never felt that way.
I bet not.
I never remember anybody saying that to me. That's very interesting. Joe was always a person you could depend on. He was always there. He had a great persona. His demeanor was friendly, and you just enjoyed being around him. And I never ever heard that before, that the engineers thought that on-air people were stupid.
That's terrible.
Is that what he said?
Didn't think highly of him. I don't know if he called him stupid.
Well, not exactly stupid, but
not too bright.
That would equal that, yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. I could probably be in that category because I am a total technophobe. I mean, I don't know how. I was so happy when I did Morning Magazine that I didn't have to do all the controls. I would have been lost without Jeff.
You weren't happy with that, were you, Jeff?
She relied on me, and we all know how technically oriented I am.
Wonder that show ever got on.
Like the blind leading the blind, you're right.
You were wonderful, Jeff.
Jeff, you have a story about Joe Peters. You've told me being at a ball game, you took the van out. Tell the story. That's a great story.
It was a night, was first year I was ever doing basketball, and we Ridgedale had a basketball game up at Cary. It was a makeup game. It was a Monday night, and Cary was really kind of on the fringe as far as what we could broadcast. But I took the old van up and had a hydraulic, and it was a night a lot like this. It was about freezing, and there had been some ice that had gotten down into the hydraulics. So when I turned the hydraulic on to lift the antenna, the thing shot about 30 feet up in the air. And I'm in the parking lot, and I have cars on both sides of me, and I'm seeing it look like a helicopter, and it's going up. I didn't know how far it was going to go. It went about 30 feet, and then it came straight down, and it punctured a hole in the van.
Oh.
And, of course, obviously, we weren't broadcasting that night. I remember coming home. I came home on the Ridgedale bus, and I called Joe when I got home, and he was like, I was listening. Of course, this is obviously, you know, this is the early 80s before cell phones. Why were we shot in the air tonight? And I said, well, I said, we had a little problem. What kind of a problem? And so I said, well, there's a big hole in the roof of the van. So the next morning, we drove up to Cary, and it was drivable. It just had this big hole in the top of the van. So we drove it home, and Joe was none too pleased with me. And he never let me forget that.
That's a great story. Joe Ione, you work with Joe Peters. What was he like?
Well, he was a hard worker, and I enjoyed working with him because you could count on him.
This was a professional guy.
Right.
Absolutely. George Yoakum, you were here with Joe Peters.
Yes. Joe was, and I'm thinking of Ruth over here, she's the nice part. There were Joe Peters when you met him. You never forgot him. He was just a unique guy. Nice enough, but with a kind of gruff exterior at times, you know, as far as, and I think with what Charlie was saying, it's a lot like computers. There are people today who just don't get into computers, don't give me any part of that. Help me, you got to show them everything. And in the beginning of radio, that was the same way. You had to have a professional set of people to run, set up these microphones, not forget them like you were telling the story about Roger, you know. And programming people, on the other hand, on-air people really were not technically oriented. So there was a clash, and in lots of places it became a union type situation. Mm-hmm. After, you know, for talents, and then there were technical unions too. So there were battles. But Joe Peters is a man that was wonderful here at the radio station and helped us when we first came on board and was here. And such a nice guy, but he had a side to him that said, if you don't get her right, yeah, buddy, you're in big trouble.
And
he said it in more declaratory words than that.
He was a perfectionist.
Yeah,
and at that time, we did, we had to take transmitter readings. And we had the big, help me out,
boy, I don't know. I wasn't good at password. I don't know.
Anyway, you had to take transmitter readings, and I think at that time it was like every 2 or 3 hours. Now we do it as like once a
half hour.
Every half hour.
Yeah, and now it's like, yeah, if we think about it once a week, we'll do it, you know.
You know what I was thinking about the other day when it came to Joe Peters was not much here has stayed the same in the last 70 years. His workshop is still downstairs, and there's stuff laying on the tables. I think people are still scared to touch it.
Yeah.
And Joe's been going quite a while.
But, you know, if the transmitter reading was like 99.8, you know, we would have to up it to get it 100%. He wouldn't slide. It had to be 100% all the time with him. When we'd go out to do a ball game or do a remote, I mean, he would go out. He'd actually go out, set up for the ball games. He'd set up for the remote. He'd stay there for the 2 hours. He wanted to make sure everything ran smooth as clockwork.
Tom Wagner, tell me about Joe Peters.
Oh, I got the mic.
You got the mic in your hand.
You sort of caught me off guard.
I enjoyed working with him. He was back in his little office back there, and if you wanted something, you better be sure you knew what you were asking for, because if you didn't get it right, you were in big trouble. But I remember too, all the times we went around to the state, to the fairs, and he would go ahead and set up the antenna, and then we'd go in and had the tent, and we'd do the programming there. And he was always available, and he always took care of business, and that always made it a successful operation. We never had much trouble. I don't know how many times, we haven't been off the air very many times because of his constant attention to the little things.
Expertise.
Yes.
You need to decide in the next 30 seconds. Do we want to do news at the top of the hour, or do we skip it?
Skip it.
Okay.
Because we're going to go to Ruth Peters, who will have the final word on Joe.
Executive decision. Real quick with Joe, we used to, at midnight, Sunday night, we used to sign off. That was the only time we would sign off, between midnight and 5:30 on Monday morning. And Joe was always here Sunday night at midnight to, you know, make sure that we were maintained.
Well, Bob, you have a, before we get to Ruth, because I want to give Ruth the last word on this, tell me about Joe Peters, Ferguson.
Most of my dealings with him were because I was not a regular employee of the station. But he did see me out and back one night, and he says, Bob, you're doing a real good job on color, but he says, couldn't you cut out some of your explosive things, like holy mackerel, gee whiz, wow, look at that. He says, just tell them what they're doing. And he was our engineer, that guy sitting right in there. He was good to work with, but he was a perfectionist.
That's what everybody says. Ruth, you married the guy. Tell us about Joe Peters.
Joe Peters was a perfectionist. Everything had to go just right. And probably those of you who decided to go down and check his workbench knew how to get out of there, too, because nobody was supposed to be down there messing around. When they talked about this, that's where I saw my wedding ring first.
Down in
his workshop. What? He had gone down to Carol's and came back with this ring, and that was it.
Good guy. Cease, you knew Joe, yeah. Joe Peters?
Yeah, I knew Joe from the Lions Club, and he was that time a jolly guy. I don't know what he's got talking about. But we always had a good time with Joe in the bowling area. The Lions Club. He was really wonderful.
It's because Joe had to put up with people like Marianne and myself and didn't know what they were doing.
Well, having you, Jeff, I can see why.
There you go. Very community involved, though, Joe Peters was. Mm-hmm. Very community involved. Another guy I wanted to talk about, Art Martin. Certainly doesn't get a... haven't talked about him for a long time, but this guy was a program manager here for a long time. Charlie, you've been here for so long. Tell me about Art Martin.
Art was a very nice man to work for, really. He never said too much to me until a few days before he died. He called me into his office and said, I wonder what happened. He said, Charlie, I just wanted to tell you, I enjoy what you've been doing here at the radio station. I was flattered. And I went to a banquet with him when I was given the honorary State Farmer degree by the Ohio FFA Association. And the next day, he was dead.
What year was that?
1978.
Brain hemorrhage, wasn't it?
79, I think.
Was it 79?
79.
Yeah, because I had been here about 2 weeks when he died.
What was your impression of Art Martin?
I worked midnight to 5:30, so I never met him.
George, did you have an impression of Art? What he did here, what the importance of him was?
Well, yeah, I think he very much maintained what went on, and I'm not sure when Art started. Does anybody know when?
Early.
I mean, he was here in the early 40s, too.
53.
In 53.
In that era.
Yeah, and I think he was a programming guy by background, which meant he understood the radio business and then became the station manager for a period of time, as I said, under Worth Kramer. And I think he was very loyal and a very professional guy. He'd been taught by the right people. So that was my impression, and I didn't know him very long. You know, I had only met him a few times while we were negotiating the changes that were going to take place in 1980.
Joe Ione, what's your memories of Art Martin?
Well, as I said, he was a good guy to work for, and I don't know, I enjoyed working with him, but he was all business. There's no fooling around, I mean. But he was a good man.
Joe, from that letter we read earlier on, that email, do you remember being on during the Kennedy assassination? I mean, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Boy, that's 63 it would have been.
63. I don't exactly remember the day or anything like that, but I remember that period. But it was a good time.
I can imagine. We're going to take, Marge Williams. Charlie, give me a remembrance of Marge really quick because
yes,
we brought her up.
I worked with Marge almost all the time she was here and enjoyed her very much. We got along very well. She wrote most of the copy, and she just cranked out commercials one after another.
Now, see, you were on the air with Marge. What kind of lady was Marge?
I knew Marge real well. I mean, her husband there worked at the county garage where I was at, and she had me out here at the radio station on the river, and she was a wonderful person. I think I was a pallbearer at her funeral, too, also.
Really?
Yeah.
Marge also died, I believe, of a brain hemorrhage or a stroke or something of that nature. We got to take another quick commercial break. We're going to come back and pay tribute to a guy maybe many of you don't know was here, the creator of the Twilight Zone, Rod Serling, after this timeout. Scott Spears back with you here on the 70th anniversary of WMRN, and we're joined on the telephone by the wife of probably WMRN's most well-known alum, Rod Serling, Carol Serling. Carol, thank you so much for joining us on this special occasion.
Hi, I'm so glad to be with you.
Carol, you know, Rod certainly means a lot to us here at WMRN. What can you tell us about Rod Serling tonight and broadcasting that maybe we don't know?
That's a pretty tall order. I don't know. You know, when Rod worked there when he was a college student, and he was, you know, doing probably continuity, making up ads, and I think he was on air with news. I don't know what all he was doing, but it was one of his important early experiences in radio, and I congratulate you all. 70 years. Oh, my God.
Well,
okay.
Carol, we can't thank you enough for stopping by on our 70th anniversary. You take care.
Yes.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And happy anniversary to all of you.
Thank you so much, Carol.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye. Let's play the Rod Serling piece. Ever to come out of WMRN in the last 70 years is undoubtedly Rod Serling. Rod went on after WMRN to create and write one of the most popular TV series of all time, The Twilight Zone. Here is the only audio clip left of Rod Serling at WMRN from 1949.
Ask any ex-GI Joe from the 7th Infantry, or the 512th Combat Engineers, or one of the ex-Screaming Eagles of the 101st Airborne. Yeah, ask any of the others who took that conducted tour through Europe and found the reception was, well, far from pleasant. Or if you could, ask any one of the doughfoots of the airmen who found that tour was a one-way affair with no passage home. They'd tell you what May 6th meant. Oh, yeah, they could tell you. They could tell you from where they are now. Casino, Anzio, Cologne, Sicily, Normandy. Oh, a lot of places. Names on the map is all they are. Names on the map. They used to be marked with dots. Now they're crosses.
Pretty compelling writing there by Rod Serling. He wrote, composed, and broadcast that. Ruth, you were here with Rod Serling. What are your memories of Rod?
Rod would come in to the office, or our office, and squat down beside the desk and scare the heck out of you. And it was ironic. The morning they announced his death, we were at Ed, what was his name? They were out in Missouri.
Ed Pollen?
Ed Pollen. Mm-hmm. And we were at their house. And when the newspaper came out, Joe just went white. Mm. You know, he was an interesting person.
Charlie, you lived in the apartment that Rod Serling lived in when he was in Marion, right?
That's right. Mrs. Kerr's boarding house. She gave me Rod Serling's bedroom.
Did she?
It didn't.
Was it spooky?
Nothing spooky about her, really.
Charlie, you've been such a big part of WMRN over the years. Buckeye Chuck, Lady Justice, Peanut Push can all be attributed to you. Let's go through those individually really quick. Tell us the genesis of Buckeye Chuck.
Well, that came about, they used to laugh at me here. My office was over on the south side of the building. And as I could look out my window at the woods next door, I saw the groundhog come out every year. And year after year, you know, I'd yell when I saw it, and they'd come rushing to my window, and they'd be gone by then. And they said, "Yeah, Everett, so you're pulling another one, aren't you?" And so one year I put a flag out in front of his den so he'd have to knock it over when it came out. Well, all in all, it worked out that Steve Stewart said, "You know, we need to do something." He was our news director. "We need to do something about this groundhog business." So we went to the state legislature, and they declared, well, in fact, I had a contest to name our groundhog, and somebody took my name. I was known as Chuck at that time, so they figured Buckeye Chuck would be appropriate. We went to our representative, the veterinarian. What was his name now?
Doc McCloskey.
Doc McCloskey, yes. Doc was a great guy. And he went to the legislature, and I have the proclamation naming Buckeye Chuck Ohio's official weather forecaster.
And still draws a big crowd. Now, why the spam? What is it, spam and?
I wanted something different.
Yeah.
And I thought, what would really be fascinating or interesting? And so I thought, maybe spam sandwiches. That would get them.
at 7 and, o'clock in the morning.
Yes, and so I went to the mayor and said, "Jack, would you come out and cook these spam sandwiches for?" Yeah, he went along with me on everything. And so that's how it came about.
Story on Lady Justice.
Yeah, that came about through my Saturday morning phone calls I used to take over the years. And Maxine Neff called me one morning and said that, you know, Lady Justice has been missing for a long time, but I'd actually give $300 to restore her if you could ever find her. And within 10 minutes after I was off the air, I knew who had her because someone called and said, you know, to look in the Marion County Historical Society's latest edition, count over so many faces on a certain page, and it was Dick Carey. And so I had to be diplomatic about it because it had been a long time, 20-some years then. And so eventually we got her back.
And the peanut push. Everybody curses you every December when you have to crawl across Center Street on your hands and knees.
That came about right after my all-expense-paid trip to Plankton, Ohio. Steve Stewart and I, we got together on so many things, including the canoe trip down the down Graves Creek, first of all. But anyhow, the peanut push came about when we asked on the air, "Can anyone think of anything funny we could do?" And a lady sent in a card and said, "Yeah, why don't you and Steve Lemke race across the street from the Marion County Bank to the courthouse pushing a peanut?" And one thing led to another.
It still goes on to this day. Those things still are great fun. Yeah. Ruth said that's a great moneymaker for the Junior Service Guild. How many years have you done the peanut push, Jeff?
Charlie, when did you leave here the second time?
1995.
Okay, well, it would have been when Charlie left, so I guess the following year.
Do you enjoy it? You've never gotten any better, although this year...
I finished third one year. I was fourth this year. You know, and like a lot of things, you know, the last couple of years, You know, we still raise a lot of money, but we don't get the numbers like we used to. But we still have a lot of fun.
You know, somebody called earlier on today and asked me if anybody knew who started doing the Emmanuel Lutheran church services here on WMRN. Charlie, do you remember?
Well, that took place back in the 40s, early 40s.
Do we know who started that? Or?
Well, no, it would have been the result of the church probably inquiring with the radio station and setting it up.
Yeah, well, there's... Ruth, do you remember who it was? They inquired about doing a spot here?
I have no idea.
It was Reverend Hollinson. He was the pastor.
Reverend Hollinson was here. But Joe set up everything. That Joe out there crawled under the podium to pull the wires through so they could do the broadcast.
Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break because we've got somebody who was actually here before anybody in this room in 1941, Anna Mae Spano, on the line right after this. Scott Spears back with you on the 70th anniversary of WMRN, joined on the phone by a lady who was here in 1941. She was Bob Mason's first secretary. She also did a storybook program here on WMRN, Anna Mae Spano. Anna Mae, how are you?
I'm just fine.
Anna Mae, wanted you to call in with your memories of WMRN.
Well, I wanted to congratulate everyone out there for the 70th anniversary. And with the staff you have, it looks like it's going to be many more, too.
Well, we certainly appreciate that. Memories of Bob Mason, a man whose secretary you were.
Fine, fine gentleman. I enjoyed every minute of it, and he was a nice person to work with.
Memories of Madge Cooper.
Okay, Madge was great, too. She did a lot of continuity writing, and she had a ladies' program that she did every day, or practically every day. In fact, there wasn't much that she didn't know how to do. She could really get it done. And then there was Lou Marsh that was in the, in the program department. Don't know whether anyone would remember him. And also Stanley Miller was in the program department.
Who was a Harvard graduate.
Yes, that could be.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I tell you, Anna Mae, I certainly thank you for calling in. It means a lot to have you call in at this particular juncture during this special, being that you were here way back in 1941.
Mm-hmm. And I was just there about 3 years.
Well, thank you so much, Anna Mae. You take care.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And have a nice segue there into the person who I think spent more time here at WMRN than anybody in the last 70 years. Let's play our tribute to Madge Cooper. WMRN Radio, as far as longevity and community service, there is one name that stands out above all the rest, Madge Cooper. Here is Madge talking about joining WMRN in 1941.
And so I was a writer for a couple of years, freelance. And I wrote a lot of things that came back in the mail, you know, a little while later. And then I wrote a few things that there were checks came back in the mail, but they weren't big enough really for me to live on. So when they were going to have a radio station in here, I thought, oh, good. I'll get me a job at the radio station. I'll learn how to write soap operas, and then I'll make $1 million. You know how that happened. It turned out to be 1 million commercials, but no soap operas, and no $1 million. But it was fun.
Madge was a daily friend to many Marion residents for well over 50 years. Her example will never be duplicated, but is certainly one we can all aspire to. Certainly Madge Cooper, a major part of WMRN. Charlie, you started out as Madge's engineer.
I engineered her Over the Coffee Cups program for 15 years, yes, every morning.
What are your remembrances of Madge Cooper?
I remember most of all of her trips to New York to the fashion shows and her interviews with all the famous designers. I mean, for coming from a small town, and she was right up there.
Marianne, you told me one time that you listened to Madge when you first came to Marianne, and she was also a guest on your morning magazine program.
Oh, yes, and she became a mentor to me. She was the one that encouraged me to belong to the Women in Communications, Radio and Television, and I'd go to different meetings with her, and we became very close. And I would call her and ask her advice, and she always gave me good advice. She was a person to look up to, there's no doubt about it.
Joe Ione, you had a very close relationship with Madge. Tell me about Madge Cooper.
I did. Well, Madge and I worked together for quite a few years, and they were enjoyable times. And I think what I want to say about, there's a lot to say about Madge.
How good a dresser was she?
She was a sharp dresser. She used to go to New York a couple of times a year and come back with all these clothes. You know, manufacturers of clothes, the people who manufactured clothes, were giving away to people like Madge. And she was always well-dressed and a real sharp woman.
Absolutely. Tom Wagner, you work with Madge.
Mostly at the fairs. That's when we would get together with her. She and I would get together and get ready for the broadcast and have people come in. We'd get the kids, and she would go with the girls with the dress, style show. And then we would do the program that way after we got everything together and got the kids ready. But it was always a job getting the kids to come in on time. Sometimes didn't take it too lightly. You know, they put it pretty light. But I always enjoyed working with her because my office is right around the corner through the window from her office over there. And she was always working on something innovative.
Absolutely. Cease, I know you never really worked directly with Madge, but you knew of her.
Yeah, I knew of her. When Madge see me, I'd tell her, "Yo, you're the Prospect River man," she'd always say. And I did dance with her, one of the balls out here. I forget which what it was, but I got a chance to dance with her.
Was she a good dancer?
Well, she was better than I was, I'll put it that way.
<you go. laughs> Jeff, you engineered her Saturday morning program. Tell me about Madge.
Just always, I mean, it was 8:15 to 9 o'clock, and she was always in here at, you know, 7:30, quarter to 8. She'd always come in, you know, 15 minutes ahead of time, make sure that, you know, if she had something taped, that it was queued up. She hated dead air. You know, if we had, you know, a second or two of dead air, if she was going into a commercial or an interview, it was like that was unacceptable. So everything had to be queued up real tight, and she always wanted to know, how long to go? You know, 5 minutes to go, 2 minutes to go. Let me know when there's 30 seconds. And just, I mean, she was right down to the second.
Absolutely. Bob Ferguson, you knew Madge.
I had quite an unforgettable experience with Madge during World War II. I was in the United States Coast Guard, and I came home and got married. And Madge lived on East Center Street in an apartment with my wife's aunt, Vivian Hall. And we didn't have any place to go for our honeymoon, so Madge says, "Hey, come on, take my apartment." And we did. For two or three nights and days, we lived there. So she gave up her apartment to somebody that she didn't even know. Just a wonderful person.
Generous woman.
Generous.
Ruth, you were close to Madge for, boy, years and years and years. Tell us about your relationship with Madge Cooper and what kind of lady she was.
Madge was a true lady, and when she and Howard Guthrie were married, it was a really, really good union. My father was very ill at their wedding, during that time, and she said, "But we can't get married until you're there." But Madge was so good to me, and she always said that I was the daughter she didn't have. Mm. But she also loved my husband.
That's true. That's true. And to lose Madge last year was a great loss. But everything I've ever listened to here from anybody who's gone or still here, it goes back to if Bob Mason didn't have Madge on the air, we probably wouldn't be here today. And I think that's probably pretty apt, as everybody says. We're going to take another quick commercial break. We're going to come back with the home stretch of the 70th anniversary celebration here on WMRN. Scott Spears back with you on the WMRN 70th anniversary special, having a lot of fun here in the home stretch. Was talking with Clancy right there during the break, and he asked me if I knew what WMRN stood for. Clancy, what's it stand for?
WMRN stands for What Marion Really Needs.
I like that interpretation. Jeff, what is the...
Oops,
turn your mic on. Yes. I can see why Madge didn't like working with you. Go ahead.
I had heard it was, and Charlie probably knows better than it, but I had heard it stood for Marion Radio News.
I thought it was Marion without the vowels.
Okay.
We don't know what it means.
I always heard what Marion really needs.
Okay.
I like that.
Marion Radio News, what Marion really needs without the vowels. Don't know. We should have asked Anna when she was on the phone here. We have a special one person we didn't talk about. Griselda Davis Dunbaugh did a program. Marion Entertains. Charlie, you were talking about Griselda the other day.
I knew Griselda very well because I worked with her every Sunday. And she played the theme. She never spoke, but she played the theme for Marion Entertains. And we had a lot of people on, like the singing patrolman. I can't remember his name now. He's still alive.
Sunbonnet Sue?
No.
No, she didn't. No. Where was Sunbonnet Sue in the mix of things?
I never heard of it. But
she wasn't very popular. Forget her.
I recorded Griselda playing her theme once. She would practice it before the program. I taped it and came and then started playing it back with a speaker and came over and I said, and she said, "Who's playing that piano?" And I said, "That's you." And she didn't think very much of it.
Ruth, you knew Griselda. Tell us about Griselda.
Well, I just knew about her, and she was always on Sunday morning. And they always talked about how people watched her in her house because she was quite an She was quite a character.
And she was an older lady when she was here back in the...
Extremely.
She
drove an old Buick just about as old as she was.
You don't hear many Griseldas anymore.
When you talk about Griselda, they knew who you were talking about. We got a musical performance here. Miss Crystal Lake 2010, Shannon O'Neill was nice enough to come in during the 70th anniversary here and, in the spirit of Marion Entertains, sing a song for us. So, Shannon, take it away.
Moon, a river wider than a mile. I'm crossing you in style someday. Oh, dream maker, you heartbreaker, wherever you're going, I'm going your way. To drifters off to see the world, there's such a lot of world to see. We're after that same rainbow's end, waiting round the bend, my huckleberry friend. Moon, river, and me. Going your away to drifters off to see the world. There's such a lot of world to see. We're after that same rainbow's end, waiting round the bend, my huckleberry friend, Moon River and me.
Hey, that was beautiful. Shannon O'Neill singing Moon River here on the 70th anniversary WMRN special. Certainly no better song could fit this occasion. Shannon, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Wonderful to be here.
Thank you. We're going to come back after a quick commercial break and remember everybody's favorite newsman. And I'll give you a hint, he's in this room. Back after this. Scott Spears back with you on the WMRN 70th anniversary. And we've paid tribute to a lot of people who... unfortunately, are no longer with us, but the elder statesman in the room today is Joe Ione, the best newsman ever to come out of WMRN, hands down. He is the Walter Cronkite of WMRN. Let's pay tribute to Joe. Play the clip there, Jeff. And has seen many newsmen come and go over the last 70 years, but one name stands above all the rest, Joe Ione.
Good afternoon. This is Joe Ione with Neighborhood News. News about people, places, and plans brought to you by Jim Dugan's, 123 North Main Street, just across from the courthouse in Marion. Valentine's Day is coming up next week, and ladies, you'll find a complete selection of ideal gifts for those, for that special man at Marion's number one men's store, Jim Dugan's. New Arrow dress shirts from $4 to $5.95, a complete selection of sports shirts, neckties for as little as $1 to $2.50, the very latest and smartest neckwear. Also a complete selection of men's jewelry, tie bars and cufflinks. So shop for that special Valentine at Marion's leading men's store, Jim Dugan's, the home of quality clothes. Turning now to the news.
Joe revolutionized news in Marion, Ohio, and his neighborhood newscasts are still some of the most popular ever to be broadcast. He is the blueprint for how broadcast news is done in Marion. Joe Ione, lucky enough still to be with us here in studio. Joe, that was you. How'd you like hearing yourself there?
Well, that was good.
Would you give yourself an A+?
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
People have said, who were here, news in Marion, whether or not it was Marion Radio News or not, we don't know. Until Joe Ione came, there really was not a big news operation here. You solidified it. You went down to the county commissioner offices. You went out in the public. And it was said that they would call Joe Ione before they would call anybody else when news broke in Marion.
I guess that's right.
National City Bank robbery, plane crash in Marion. You covered it all, didn't you, Joe?
I was lucky to be on the spot, I guess.
Yeah. Joe, somebody called in this week, wanted you to do the old neighborhood news as you did it. We have it here. I'm going to let you get ready for a second to read that. Charlie, you worked with Joe. Tell us about this guy over here.
Yeah, well, I knew him as Ace. Ace newsman. He was Ace... as long as I knew him, and it was a real pleasure to work with him, man. Absolutely.
How good was he? We heard the clip there. That's not taped. I mean, that was live, reel to reel. You had to do it in one take.
Oh, yes. There was no backing up and doing it over either.
That's amazing. Ruth, tell us about Joe Ione here at WMRN. How good was he as a newsman? Get the mic to you.
He was a good newsman, and they lived just down the street from us. So I knew his family and held his boys when they were just newborns. And Betty was a good friend of ours.
Joe, want you to do the old neighborhood news if you can there. We've given you some copy. Go ahead. Yeah, just go ahead and read that.
Good evening. This is Joe Ione with Neighborhood News. News about people, places, and plans brought to you by Jim Dugans.
Go ahead, Joe.
And now turning to the news. Congratulations to WMRN Radio and... I'm sorry. Congratulations to WMRN Radio on celebrating 70 years of broadcasting excellence in Marion County and the surrounding areas.
Perfect.
Losing my voice.
Now, hey, that Joe, you still got it. Joe, you want to tell how long you were here at WMRN? What was it?
Gee, how long was I here?
51 to 66.
51 to 66, around 15 years. It was a great run. We're down here to the home stretch, about 19 minutes left. We want to ask everybody in studio here what WMRN means to them after this commercial break. Scott Spears back with you on the WMRN 70th anniversary special. And before we wrap things up here this evening, we got about 15 minutes left. I want to go around the room with everybody in here and kind of sum up 70 years, what WMRN means to you. Let's start with Charlie. What has this place meant to you over the last 70 years?
Well, it sure has provided a tool for me to try to do a lot for the community, and I hope I have. I've had two different radio careers in Marion, starting my third. I work for two stations, and so I've had about a 50-some year experience here in Marion. It's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
I saw a lot of water go under the bridge, by canoe and otherwise.
How fun has it been, Charlie? I mean, how fun has it been?
Well, it used to be a lot of fun. Radio isn't as much fun anymore. It's too, dollar-wise. and it's getting worse to get enough sponsors to really make a successful operation. It's tough. But we used to have a lot of fun. I mean, maybe more fun than we should have. In fact... I remember once setting Joe Ione's news on fire, and and he threw his burning script in the waste can, and it caught on fire, and it was terrible.
Marianne, what has WMRN meant to you in your long broadcasting career?
Well, of course, I didn't really have that long of a broadcasting career, Scott. I was in TV for 7 years, and then I was in radio for 6 years, and most of my 30 years here, more than 30 years, most of my career was in teaching. I had 30 years of teaching and 13 years of broadcasting. But I'll have to tell you that my 5 years or 6 years here at WMRN were some of my happiest. Mm. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And it was fun getting out into the community, all the fairs, county fairs, and having wonderful people in the studio to interview. And I had a lot of people from Columbus that would come up and do interviews, and I would call people like you do. Steve Allen was one of my favorite people to call. So it just was a wonderful, wonderful experience here at WMRN. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Clancy, you were here doing the Country Jamboree. What has WMRN meant to you?
You want me to tell you what WMRN stands for?
You can do that again if you like.
What Marion really needs.
There you go. I think that's a good way to punctuate it. Cecil, what has WMRN meant to you? We'll get the mic over there to you.
Well, that's meant a lot to me and to Prospect. I think Jeff will be in there because I kept Prospect on the map for these guys up here and whatever thing. Whatever item come up down there, Prospect, me and Jeff or Charlie got together on it. So we had it meant a lot to me and to Prospect. And by the way, I brought my wife with me back there, Scott, so I had to... Yep. Say hi to her.
Absolutely. Thank you, Vera, for bringing Cecil over today. Bob, what's WMRN meant to you?
WMRN to me is just listening. We have our radio on every morning. When we have our coffee, we listen to this guy in here.
Jeff Root.
And he's helped me get rid of things a couple of times. But it's a listening station. We've enjoyed it.
Ruth Peters, what's this place meant to you?
Well, it was almost our home.
Yeah.
And have so many things that were funny. the phone was always on my side of the bed, and I always got the phone call. And I know, remember one night, we had this new man on. I may be sitting in here, I don't know. But said to Joe, "Where's the light switch to turn off the lights in the control room?"
It wasn't me.
I'm telling you, he went out real fast.
Chili Edwards, what's a station like WMRN meant to you over the years?
Well, besides listening to it all my life, because I've lived in Marion all my life, but it really helped push country music out over the airways for especially an hour. We done the first hour live, and then 2 hours after. But it really helped. We got a lot of comments on the shows, and a lot of people come in just on account of the radio.
Mm. Jeff Ruth, 31 years. What's this place meant
to
you?
Obviously, some great memories. You know, Charlie touched on it. Radio now is not like it was, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, and you know, everything is dictated so much by, as you say, you know, we can't take a chance on doing it because it might not make money. And there's so many different things that, you know, we've been able to do. We're still a local station. A lot of stations have lost that local appeal. I don't care if it's a big city or even in the smaller markets. You just don't see, you know, somebody like you that could come in and take a two-hour segment in the evening and put together a show like this. We still do the Tradio, the Morning Magazine. You know, how long have we had the Obituary Report on and Hymn Time? And it's still, you know, connecting with the local community, made a tremendous amount of friends. And I've just, you know, to me it was never work. You know, some strange hours, but, you know, the people that work are the ones that, you know, we're up on the roof when it's 100 degrees, or they're out on, you know, when the power goes out and it's 10 below. Those are the people that work. This isn't work. This is fun.
Yeah. Tom Wagner, WMRN. What's it mean to you?
I'm still thinking about Tradio. I still enjoy that more myself, because there's things that you can get rid of and what people have to sell.
Mm-hmm.
But
Charlie loved doing Tradio, by the way.
I can imagine. but think of... Think of doing that in the city. There's, you know, you wouldn't do something like that on a Columbus station. but here in Marion, you can sell anything.
Mm-hmm. or acid or anything. Or
Jeff Ruth.
If it isn't cars, then you have a title to it, you know.
Right, right.
Weirdest thing you've ever had somebody call in for to give away on Tradio?
Somebody, they're... I don't know if it was the husband whose wife had died or the wife whose husband had died, had their false teeth for sale for $10.
Oh, my goodness.
that's at the top of the list. There's been a lot, but that's the top of the list.
Well, some of the things you read, you have to read through on these things. All right, Charlie, tell the story. I don't know if we can tell it all. You know what I'm going for here. Go ahead.
Well, there's a certain type of dog. The last part of the name is Zoo, and I couldn't pronounce it correctly. And the next call I got was somebody said, "Will that dog come with papers?" I had another one too, and I did this on purpose. A man called up and he said, "I've got a hearing aid for sale." And I said, "Huh?" And I could hear the whole building start to shake.
So you can see why, Charlie and Jeff, I never wanted to do radio.
Joe Ione, you're the senior member here. Tell us what WMRN's meant to you over the years.
It's meant an awful lot. I mean, I've had some good years here in Marion. I came here right out of college, and as I said, I've had good years and not too many bad ones, mostly good.
Hmm.
And I enjoyed my stay in Marion, and I came here, as I said, temporarily. I thought it was only be a short stay, but I've been here, I don't know how many years now, an awful lot.
An awful long time, well over 50. Want to get one more commercial break in, come back and have the final toast.
We don't have to take a commercial break if you don't want to.
Well, no. Let's just keep on going.
All right.
WMRN, and I want to kind of sum up with this. WMRN has meant a tremendous amount to me over the last few years because it is local radio. And I remember when I first came here, we had a student here who had come in to do something like job shadowing. And they came in and said, well, don't you want to go on to a bigger station? Wouldn't you like to be somewhere else? And I guess for the money, you might want to go on to a bigger station, an NBC, CBS, whatever.
You're not going to get rich here.
Not going to get rich here. Absolutely not. But, yeah, but Jeff, you said it. It's never work. It's never work to come in here and do something like this. And when you hear all the reminiscences and the this is a family. WMRN is a family. And I don't know if the other news organizations in town, whether it's been television over the years or the newspaper, have had a family like this. We all like to be around. We can laugh. And radio is still firsthand. You know, it's the job you're doing. You hear it out of the person's mouth. It's not relayed through somebody else. And it's not graphics like television. So radio has changed over the years, but we still survive. We're still happy. And I am perfectly happy being here in the local market because you couldn't do this on NBC. And we've had a
sure.
tremendous amount of fun tonight. We have about 6 minutes left in the program. Jeff, 31 years here. Come on. Tell me about the importance of sports, local sports, at WMRN.
Well, and Bob certainly can testify that because he was doing sports when I got here. And Charlie, you know, for years, WMRN was the voice of the Little Brown Jug. And, you know, I mean, we actually, maybe Charlie knows how we kind of formed that, but we actually kind of started the radio network for the Little Brown Jug.
Yeah, we sure did. Clear back in the mid-40s.
It's been an amazing run here, and I think, what do you think the hallmark to WMRN has been? Why are we still here 70 years later when a lot of stations have went by the wayside? Marianne, why are we still here?
Well, I think because the station has always appealed to the community and has done so much for the community, and the community has responded. And it's very comfortable. It's a comfortable radio station.
You know, the stars of this radio station, and we don't say it enough, are the people who listen, because it'd be highly unlikely we'd get together on a daily basis if nobody was listening. And that's always, and when somebody comes up and says hello to you, I like what you do. You know, Jeff touched on it there. If you work in a steel mill or you're a garbage man, very rarely do people come up and say, I like your work. Mm-hmm. But people do that here, and it's
always... They'll also let you know occasionally when they don't like it.
Well, you know, and that's the thing, you know, it's just like if you wear a shirt you don't like, a friend might come up and say, you know, that shirt doesn't look too good on you. But... You say, well, maybe I won't do that segment anymore. Maybe I won't have Ben Franklin on at 6:30 in the morning anymore. But I mean, there have been some things over the years.
Iron Sheik coming back. We will never have the Iron Sheik back.
No, the Iron Sheik had his time on the air and about put us off the air, but what are you going to do?
Well, I would imagine, Scott, that you get a lot of feedback from your Exchange Club listeners. Because every time I'm out in the community, somebody comes up to me and says something about the Exchange Club.
Well, that program, for what it's worth, has been one of the most exciting things to do here because we get Charlie on every week. We get Marianne on every week. Joe's been on that program. Bob has been on that program. Madge was on that program before she left us. Jeff has been on that program. It's a fun show to do, and it's every 3 weeks. I'm always looking forward to get together and discuss what's going on. And it's been a tremendous pleasure. Let's have a toast here to wrap up 70 years of WMRN.
Should we do Auld Lang Syne or something?
What, before or after?
Well, because I don't have it queued up, so...
Well, you queue it up and we'll...
I don't know if I can find it. Wait a minute. Okay. Johnny on the spot here. Okay.
70 years and he still hasn't learned how to work the machine back there. That's right. Where's Joe Peter? He can get us on the air with this.
We can all sing it.
It's
ready?
No, it's not. It's at 58% and rising.
Well, let's have a toast here.
Yes.
Marianne, I want you to give a little toast, and then Charlie, and then I'll give one, and then we'll go in. Hopefully Jeff will be ready by then. Marianne,
well,
toast. We're dry in the studio. Somebody could bring some more of the beverage, the grape juice in. Marianne's broken her cup.
No, I just toast to everybody here and everybody out in the listening area to have a wonderful, profitable, blessed New Year.
Cheers. Charlie.
Yes, and I'll agree. and I really miss all these people in the pictures I brought in. Half these people are dead, and at least a few of us survived, and we're thankful for that, and hope that everything goes all right with everyone else.
What a toast, Charlie. Half the people are dead. Let's toast them. Jeff, you have anything to say for a toast? 31 years entitles you to something.
And no, I don't.
To all the other people who are dead.
No. To all of our listeners that make shows like this possible.
Absolutely. And we want to... we'll wrap it up here. To WMRN, which has been the voice of Marion, it's been your neighborhood friend, 1490 since 1940, hometown news, and now where Marion comes to talk. To WMRN and all the people who've made it possible over the years for us to sit here and do what we do, thank you so much. And you, the listener, you are great. Thank you. To WMRN.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.